Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Isn't it awesome when God answers our prayers as we have asked them? We must have been praying according to His will. This last weekend was absolutely phenomenal in that family camp was incredible. In fact, over and over and over again, I've had people share that from other places that it was one of the very best. They were greatly encouraged. And there's only one way that that could happen, and that is when some of the heroes of the faith step up and go the extra mile. So I'm going to call Braxton Bragg, Max Bragg, and Ty Bragg up front, stand right next to me. Come on up, boys. Let's go. Real quick. All right. Run as fast as you were working, man. You guys were working. All right. So here you go. I'm going to tell on you guys. Here you go. Max, don't go away. Braxton, and get up here, Ty. Come on. Stand right next to me, boy. Good job. You didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't say boy. You know, these guys were scheduled for one work session in the kitchen doing dishes. They ended up being in there pretty much every session in the kitchen. And these boys were working, and they were responsible. They were careful. Many of you know the kitchen is really quite dangerous in there. I'm sure OSHA would have probably shut us down. But because these boys were responsible, very responsible this year, very proud of them. In fact, I was told by a couple folks that were in the kitchen a lot, said that Ty really took the bull by the horns and was leading the charge. And so let's give it up for these fine young men who are taking responsibility. Good job, thank you. I need your help, yeah. Okay, I'll hold on this one for you. I won't let you leave without it. So, Mr. Kirkpatrick, could you stand and be recognized? Let's give it up for Scott Kirkpatrick. Scott invested in some new equipment that made life a lot easier to deliver and a lot better in its delivery in regards to electrical equipment. So it was absolutely awesome. He whipped it out real quick. Now, someone who is accompanying him consistently in family camp and this year spent a lot of time up front getting all the songs listed out, formatted for each sermon based upon what the scripture and sermon was about, and then shows up the next day, and he was sick, so you know he kind of quarantined himself over in the corner. Surprised you didn't get sick. Let's give it up for Andrew Compton. So there is a young lady who only had one time in the kitchen, but like the Bragg boys, she was there every time there was meal prep and cooking going on. And so it was pretty amazing because she was sacrificing the sessions at the beginning anyway to be in there. So that young lady is Tanya Villegas. Give it up to Tanya. I'm so glad I'm old because everybody's young. It's awesome. So, let's give it up for this young man and his lovely bride who isn't here. Let's give it up for Ken Weibert and Ken for doing all the prep work up front, buying, running around town. Let's give it up for them. Ken was just motioning, he doesn't have any hair left because he pulled it all out. But you've done that for years, right?
My wife and I shop differently. I'm gonna go get it kind of guy, and she's like,
I know a husband and wife like that.
So do I.
So do you? My wife knows a husband and wife like that. Last but not least, Alan and Liberty just really sacrificed the whole camp to be in the kitchen and setting up and cleaning up. And Liberty was so gracious as to kind of switch when Andrew was very, very sick. She was willing to step up and take charge of the kitchen. And so we really need to give a great round of applause for Alan and Liberty. Wow. Oh, and this is, you don't want to forget that. All right. So there's a scripture that says, all hard work brings a profit. Mere talk leads only to poverty. And that's the scripture I put in the Bragg Boys, note, a little gift for them. It's so powerful that we have young men and women who are willing to step up and help out so greatly. So heroes of the faith, you know, a lot of people think, well, the guy who goes out and preaches and goes to other countries is the hero of the faith. No, it's each one serving as God has called them to serve.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things I think is so awesome around here, is our expectation here is that you live faithfully for the Lord and serve Him as you have been gifted, and not be in your face if you don't have 25 Bible studies. If you're planting seeds, if you're loving people, that's actually going to happen by the life that you live. They'll see Christ and they'll want to know more. I've seen that happen over and over and over again. And a good example that I've used before is Alan's boss is now following Alan's lead in regards to working on changing his life, and he's looking to Alan. And it's only a matter of time, I'm sure, before Alan is able to get a study with him. And so it's just by the life we live that we're able to impact people. So I am so thankful for the folks that serve with me, and we serve together our great God. All right, so I got a couple of, Braxton, I'm sorry, I got to call you back up again. So I got a couple of great words of encouragement here. Brian, that was literally the most encouraging communion meditation. Thank you. Let's give it up for Ryan.
Woo!
I would agree with that. I mean, the gory stuff is important for us to understand, because that's what he went through for us, but also, too, the separation of his father and the agony that must have cost him. So, Jamie, for all the ways you helped make Oregon Family Camp such a great success, thank you.
Woo!
Bill, thank you for all your hard work and planning and organizing camp. What a blessing. There you go.
Woo-hoo!
Angie, love your dedication and faithfulness and your beautiful spirit as you become like Christ Jesus. Give it for Angie.
Woo-hoo!
I want to say something about Lars, you know. Angie is that really sweet spirit, you know, that is contagious. But I'll tell you what, Lars called me the other day, and it was pretty powerful. One of his friends, who's not in Christ yet, but a man who really appreciates Lars for the man that he is, reached out to him, and Lars was genuinely concerned for him and his well-being. And so, more prayerfully, Lars and I will be working together to help him out. So, it takes everybody with their particular circle of influence and people. So, you know what? You and Angie are an amazing team, and I'm so thankful you're part of the fellowship here. So, let's give it up for both of them. All right. Is Rachel in there? Could you grab her and have her to come out? No, I'm not going to call you up front. We just want to make sure that you're here to receive this. I think it's beautiful. It says, Rachel, big heart, your faithfulness as a new Christian is an encouragement to many. I'll say amen to that one. And it's incredible seeing the faith you are instilling in your littles. Smile. Keep standing strong and growing your faith. Let's give it up for this awesome young woman in Christ. And she inspired her youngest to sit right up front in the front row this morning, which was really great. No one sits in the front row, only the brave. So thank you. All right.
It's all violent.
Okay, so there you go. And you know, I got a feeling she's got one of those rawr spirits, kind of like Brian Bragg, only in a little body, right? Okay, thank you. All right, Miriam, for being so encouraging, supportive, and faithful. You are an inspiration.
Woo-hoo!
All right, we got her. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. All right, the very first announcement is this. This is kind of a serious one. I don't want anybody to go out that back door after you use the restroom. That door is to remain locked. Okay? We had a situation 2 weeks ago. And it was could have turned out to be a life-changing situation. And Ken was involved at the end. My wife was had somebody approach her out there after she went out the back door. And it could have been very, very bad. Extremely bad. He parked his car right down on the road, on the shoulder, and came up and approached her. I don't want anybody going out that back door. That door is locked for a reason. It's a fire escape. I don't want you to go out. Now, I'm so thankful for Jeff and Julie and Logan that saw the whole thing. Julie first walked by, hi, and then came in and reported it quickly. And Jeff went out, and Logan went out, just going out to his truck, right? We just need to recognize and understand the world is not what it used to be. And there, all the doors are locked except for that door there. And there's a reason why that door is unlocked and all the other doors are locked. So everybody comes through that door. And it's very important that you understand that if someone who has an evil intent comes through that door, you'll be told to get down. And others here who are concerned and ready will stand in the gap. Does everybody understand what I just said? I just want to make sure that we are safe as a people. Jesus said, right before he left, sell your coats and buy swords. He didn't want them to be an offensive army. He wanted them to defend themselves. That's what it was for. And Jesus actually taught that in more than one occasion. And so we just want to be mindful of protecting our family. And that's why I'm asking you to, if you need to use the restroom, please feel free. But just to go back to your seats, everybody understands and knows it's not a big deal, but please do not exit that back door. Question?
I just want to add to that this tiny bit. Maybe you want to be aware if you're like leaving and two people left in here, because what happened to me, I don't think I was in any danger, but it was the same guy came back. I was back there playing around with the toilet in the ladies' room because the water was running and wouldn't stop. So I got my head in the tank, and this guy comes back in the door because everybody else left, and I'm always the last one here. So somehow we need to figure out just to lock the door if you're...
If you think you're the last one out, you're probably not, because Ken is. And so you need to let Ken know so he can lock that door.
He's being aware, and I could have followed up and locked the door. Because yeah. I don't think I'd like anybody just walking in the door when I'm here. Alone.
Right. That's absolutely...
It's confrontational, not danger to me. Yeah. But he wanted money.
Yeah.
And he wanted to bully me into it.
Well, I think it's just important that we recognize we live in a different world right now. And we need to be intentional and always be mindful of our surroundings. Amen? Amen? Okay. There you go. Any other, do you have something to say there, Brian, or Jeff stepped out for a minute?
The motto I use is we don't live our life scared, but we live our life prepared.
Yep.
And that's what
absolutely.
Just be prepared.
Yep, absolutely. Be prepared. Okay? Thank you. I appreciate that. Not scared, but prepared, right? And intentional. All right, so here we go. Evening assemblies. We'll be at the Kirkpatrick starting tonight. Sunday. Yeah, Sunday evening. Last month, didn't happen. This month, we're hoping it will. So, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights at the Kirkpatrick's. Sunday the 17th will be our family fellowship dinner at the Kirkpatrick's. 5:30 is when that will start. College age and ladies study this week are on, and we're going to sing a special happy birthday to Nora. She's going to be watching this assembly when she gets home. And we want to make sure that she knows that we're thinking about her on her birthday. And so, anyway, she's out with her auntie right now, which is a good thing for birthdays. So anyway, also too, there's two MIA this morning. And so we're going to sing to them next week along with some others. We have about seven people next week that we are singing to. So come and be ready to sing happy birthday. So Nora, this one is for you. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And there's a whole bunch of us that miss your happy smile. You are so sweet. So I hope you have a wonderful, awesome birthday. Okay, so now let's grab our Bibles and turn to the first scripture for our theme this year. That's Psalm chapter 62. Psalm chapter 62. You know, I was going through all of the Bible passages in the Bible about hope. And I always read in context, The context here is absolutely amazing. Let's read the whole psalm. It's only 12 verses, but it talks about two groups of people. Those people who are completely in trusting God in every way, and those who are living their life for themselves, the carnal person, spirit-filled person, carnal person. Spiritual person has hope. The carnal person is self-destructive in every way. So let's listen to how God speaks of the hope that we have. Psalm 62. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength and refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances, they go up. They are altogether lighter than air. Do not trust in oppression. Do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this said. The power belongs to God, and mercy is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his works. Now, let's open in a word of prayer. Holy God, as we want to ask the question, how is it that we can be still and silent before you when the world is going up in flames, when men continue and women continue who are of this world, finding themselves in self-destruction and destroying others? Father, help us to realize that you are our hope, that your Son Jesus Christ gave himself fully that he might give to us security like no other. We pray, Father, as we would listen to your voice this morning through the scriptures, that you would help us to understand that you, O God, are our Father. You, O God, are our great master and king. You, as a beloved husband, are ever aware, concerned, and present for us. Help us to put our hope firmly in you and in no one or nothing else. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the lesson this morning, and if you do have a lesson sheet, you'll notice that as much as I tried to photocopy it, it kind of did its own thing this morning. It kind of belched a couple times, literally, and all of a sudden it started cranking these things out. And so I went, okay, it looks fine, because I did one side. And I put them in correctly, and it only belched one time, and then it kicked them out backwards. So in other words, everybody here has either got page one on both sides or page two on both sides. At least you have a place to write. So for those of you who don't have the lesson plan and you don't know what the title of the lesson is, here it is. My soul waits in silence for God only, for my hope is sure and steadfast in Him. Now, how important it is for us to realize that. Now, as we read the last Bible verse for our theme this year, it's the passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6. And it really does describe hope as it's communicated this morning in Psalms 62. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil, literally into heaven, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Our salvation, our hope, is literally secured when we entered into Christ and Christ entered into us. When you were immersed into Christ Jesus, your sins were washed away. And He filled you with His Holy Spirit. And you know what the most awesome thing is? It says not only did He come down and place the fullness of Himself in your body, He secured your soul. And right now it says, Ephesians 2, not only have you been raised up with Him from the waters of immersion to walk in newness of life on this side of eternity, your soul is secured in heaven. You're seated with Him in the heavenly places, in the spiritual realm, right now. And you're saying, I can't see it. Well, that's because we got fleshly eyeballs. But with spiritual eyeballs, it says, the eyes of your heart, you can know. We have already been glorified, and glory is reserved for heaven. We've already been glorified. Brethren, our hope is absolutely secure. The world is burning down around us, and yet our hope, if we will choose to give full trust and full allegiance to Jesus Christ, we will be absolutely secure, rock solid, and we will be the hope-filled people in a hopeless world. So let's begin this morning. You know, there's only one true and lasting hope. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says, we were called through one hope of our calling. We were called into Christ Jesus through the gospel, and He is our hope. And so it's important for us to recognize this. There is no other hope. The world's filled with hopes that are not absolute and secure. There's only one hope. Now, if you're not experiencing that right now, if you're not sure what that actually means, you know, you can be immersed into Christ knowing that you're asking for Him to wash away your sins and asking you to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And you are, because you've asked. He is faithful. But you know what I found? I have found I didn't really fully understand what happened. I knew He washed away my sins. I knew that He had filled me with His Holy Spirit. I understood that I obeyed the gospel and I was crucified with Him and buried with Him and raised up with Him. But I did not understand what that meant. In fact, I have to be honest with you. I've only had a real sketchy understanding of hope until last September and October when I was grinding through all of these scriptures. That sounds terrible, but I was actually working through all the scriptures and reading them in context. And I realized that the world is designed to fall apart without God. He holds it all together. When people reject him, their lives fall apart. When they reject him, what they touch falls apart. That's what? Spiritual second law of thermodynamics. When we reject God, we remove him from our lives begin to fall apart. Little children. See these little children? I love it. They go romping up. Woohoo! We're back here! Woohoo! I'm going back to play! They have not a care in the world because mom and dad are taking care of them. Isn't that how that works? But you know what I've discovered? Just as Jesus at 12 understood who he was, and at 13 he stepped into this transition into manhood. How old are you, Ty? How old are you?
12.
12. When are you going to be 13?
July.
The transition's already begun. Not in his physical appearance, but rather his character. He stepped up. The transition is in process. But for you and I who are older, yes, we are there in adulthood. Yes, we now need to fully depend on God, for we've stepped away from the covering of our parents, as it says in the scriptures. Children are covered by their parents, but they transition into adulthood sometime in their teens. And then they need God to cover them. They need God to fill them. They need God to be their everything. Brethren, it's so important for us to recognize that. Our hope is in Jesus Christ our Lord only, though all hell assail us, as the song says. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. But we might leave and forsake him. May we understand fully that it's only through his love and his sacrifice that we overwhelmingly conquer in this life. Remember that passage of scripture? We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Neither death nor life or persecution or all these other things, the horrors of this crazy world, cannot separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Except for you and me. We can separate ourselves. We can choose not to submit ourselves to his sovereignty, to his great love. We can separate ourselves. It would be us divorcing ourselves from our great husband who has given us all things and continues to provide all things for us. You know, I understand that many have done that before. We read of brethren in the past who the pressure has been so great they walked away from the Lord. Even in the scriptures we read that. But we also read about those great saints of old that remained faithful no matter what happened to them. They rejoiced always in Christ Jesus. It was well with their soul because they remained faithful to Christ Jesus. So we ought to as well. So in this next lesson or two, based upon what I'm seeing on the clock, thank you, Ken, for doing your very best. Okay? We're going to first see that we must know and draw near to him through the word, through the prayer, through our sacrificial service with and for others. The second thing we're going to look at is we need to realize that this world without God is an illusion. It's delusional. And if we embrace the world without Christ being the cornerstone for our lives, we will enter into that delusion and end up being woefully hopeless. I know of ministers who killed themselves. Suicide. There was one I just heard of recently. How's that possible? The way that's possible is they were or became hopeless. No hope. How's that possible? If you don't understand what true hope is, the craziness world will steal that from you. And so, brethren, I want to spend a lot of time this year looking at what Psalm 62 is actually teaching us, and today is just a primer. We'll probably get to point number one. Point number two is to understand the delusional nature of the carnal man. Finally, that our trust must only be in Him, relying on His power, not our own, relying on His mercy and not our own works. So let's begin. Point number one. Know and draw ever nearer to Him. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 62 once again. Look at verse 1 and 2. The psalmist says, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, and I shall not be greatly shaken." You know what it says? My soul waits in silence for God only. I don't know about you, but I'm not a guy that likes to wait. Man, I got to get working. I get up in the morning. Okay, I know, Lord, you asked me to come to you in the morning, Psalms 5. Come to you in the morning and order my prayer to thee. Father, this is how I pray that you can help me. Thank you for helping me before. And I'm going, I got to get to work in my mind. God's going, just quiet, man, just quiet. You'll get the word quick enough. Okay. And Lord, I want it, and I'm praying, and it's like, oh, I start to panic. Is there anybody else in this audience like me? Would you be willing? Okay, I got one nodding head. And I know Jeff will not raise his hand even if it's true. Would anybody else go, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Good, okay. Thank you, Faith. With a smile.
Yeah, me too.
You know? We're in good company. We're in company with each other. But notice God says, but child, I have today already figured out nothing's going to happen to you that I already haven't seen, that I've already understood, and I got the answer for every challenge you'll face just and close to me. It says here, my soul waits in silence for God. Now, some of you in your Bibles, mine, like mine, the word waits is in italics. What does that mean? You know what that means. That means it's literally not in the Hebrew. But if you jump down to verse 5, notice what it says. Same phrase, but the word is there. My soul wait in silence for God only. Now, I like the way this one is written. My soul, comma. Wait in silence for God only. You know what that's actually saying? It's you talking to yourself. Soul, wait in silence for God only. Stop running ahead. That's exactly what's being said here. You know, when I was reading this and I was pondering this, I'm going, well, this is way too close to home for me. God just knows me. And I was like, this is hard. And you know, the voice that came back is, I know, but how often have you run ahead and been successful? What's the answer? You know the answer to that. Rarely? Well, for me, it's been like, it seemed like everything was going great until, and then I don't think once. And so this lesson might be painful for some of us. Faith and I, at least. Well, and Jake, too. But see, here's the deal. God's already seen every moment. He's of your whole life. He's seen it all. He paid for every mistake you have made and will make. Does that give you any kind of comfort? You mean I can do whatever I want? No. That's not what some people think that, but that's not what's being said. He wants you to trust Him. I've got it covered. See, Satan has come before me and asked to sift you, and I have said no consistently, but sometimes I'll say, okay, he can handle it, she can handle it, and he says, I'm praying. I'm intervening for you. Isn't that what Jesus did for Peter? And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus is the Lord God, and that's how the Lord God operates. He makes intercession for us. And that's why in the morning I pray, I need your help. I praise you for this. I thank you for that. But man, I need your help. Isn't that how the prayer is supposed to go? Oh, and also too, we're supposed to pray for those who are not yet Christians in our lives. And those who are, we should pray for those. But that's kind of how that goes. But we need to stop. And we need to make time so that he understands we're waiting on him and his leadership. How many of you ever know that when you're talking with somebody and somebody interrupts you, that your train of thought is broken? Okay. Now, how many of you have ever been praying and your cell phone's on? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have been praying and your cell phone's on? Don't raise your hand. Because I know many. And I'm going to ask you, what do you do? Don't raise your hand. We have been programmed. So I turn my phone off. I check it really quickly to see if people from overseas or people overnight have sent me anything that I need to put on my list. And then I turn it off. Because then I read the scriptures, listening. And then I pray, sharing. We taught our kids that when they have something desperate, I gotta talk to mom or dad. And mom or dad are talking with someone. Well, they don't do this anymore. They just know to wait and then approach after we're done. Okay. But they used to, remember this, guys? We taught you to put your hand on our arm just for a little bit and then step back and let us continue. We know that you're there and we know that you want to speak with us. But that helps mom and dad not go. And of course, the person that we're talking to is ignored completely. My kid is a lot more important than you are. So would you just take a minute while I talk with him? No. Can you do it to the Lord? No, he wants you to slow down. He wants you to take as long as it takes to remember what is praiseworthy about him. To remember what... And this is right near the end. This is the conclusion right now, but it's all going to mix together. He wants you to what? He wants you then to share your thanksgiving for what he's done. Think about others in prayer, and then pray for yourself. But I don't have time. Who gave you the 24 hours as a gift? Who gave them to you? Well, maybe we should start out by praising him for time and praising him for the time he's given today. How many have ever had this happen? And this is super important. You're saying, we've only gotten through the first phrase of the first verse. That's okay. How many have ever found that when you don't pray and you don't read, your day feels kind of wonky? I hope you're not in the habit of not praying or reading, because then it doesn't feel wonky, although it is. But how many have ever not read or not prayed, and you go into your day because you got so much to do today, you don't have time to read and pray? I don't want you to raise your hand if that's been you before, but that's been me before. I guarantee that it takes me longer to do everything because he doesn't open the floodgates of heaven. So if you just called out to me, I would have opened the floodgates of heaven, but you're too busy. I don't want to bug you. I'll wait till you have a need. And you know what? Almost every time on those days, I go, and I'm not going to ask you if you've ever done this, but you just stop and go, I need to go to my room and pray. Sometimes Sharon will help me because she's my helpmate. You need to go to your room and pray. Isn't that true, honey? I love my wife. She's amazing. So if your wife or your husband or your best friend or whoever says, go to your room and pray, go, you know, I should have listened to that a long time ago. I should have done it myself. The world is going crazy. The carnal man that we see in verse 3 and 4 and the carnal person that we see in verse 9 and 10, they are everywhere. Several of us have careers where you get to meet them consistently. We, thankfully, don't have to meet them consistently. It's important for us to understand this very first verse. We must know and draw ever nearer to Him. First point of the first point. You can't do that unless you listen to Him in the morning. And share with Him praise, thanksgiving, and need as you start your day. If you'll do that, slow down, quiet your heart, devote that time to Him, and then march into your day. The blessing will be is that you are then, and I hate this word, but it's truly, you're centered in Christ, not in self. You know when you're centered in self? Who's the focus? Self. When you're centered in Christ, Christ is the focus. And His life. And who He's called you to work with and whatnot. And you can overcome. Yesterday, my son Jacob and my wife Sharon were there when I locked my keys in my truck for the second time in just a couple weeks. And I left my truck running, as some of you heard. And I was constantly telling myself, I am not going to get angry. I am going to overcome. And I was focused on that. And guess what? Did I throw a tantrum? Did I throw anything? I didn't throw anything. I didn't throw myself on the ground. I didn't punch a wall. In fact, I laughed. After a couple, I laughed. I go, this is crazy. You know, things happen. You know? And then Eric this morning was just a good brother in Christ. He says, well, I've done that too. And just like I left my car, I'm like, man, thanks, Eric. You made me feel really good. I mean, serious, you did. Look, nothing's going to happen if your mindset is set on things above. If your mindset is set to serve Him. Yes, the world's burning down around us. Yes, hell is assailing us like I believe never before in a very, very spiritual way. But guess what? As we understand what it means that our hope is found in Him and He's first. As we what? As we come to Him, and our soul waits in silence for God only. So next week we'll pick it up, and this might take us 3 weeks now. But anyway, that's okay. There's 3 points, and so we'll get her done. How many think we got a good start on this one? Amen? Yeah. Hope I didn't step on too many toes. Okay, let's pray. Father, I'm thankful that as we come to Your Word and we think about it and we process it and we look at it in a context and then we apply it to ourselves, oh, how amazing it is and how moved we are in making changes that are bringing about greater blessings in our lives. As was shared this morning by Jeff and by Brian and by Scott, how richly You've blessed us, the comfort that we experience in this body of Christ now. Someone comes to talk with me or called me, so they got to talk with you. Instead of me immediately thinking, oh no, now what's wrong? The beauty of it has constantly been questions about how to serve, when to serve, you know, how is this going to work? It's so amazing. Thank You so much, Father, for our growth. Thank You so much for Your Word and a greater understanding of it. Help us to have such hope in this life each day that people's lives are absolutely shaken by our rock-solid conversations and life. Because You are our rock. You are our refuge, our strength, our stronghold, our salvation. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you very much. Woo! Let's all get excited. What did Jesus say to do?
Go!
Let's try that again. What did Jesus say to do?
Go!
Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. King of Kings. All right, let's go get her done.